Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, do you think Jesus ever had trouble as a speaker keeping the attention of his listeners?
Oh, gosh, where do you come up with these questions, Dean? It doesn't seem to imply in the scriptures that he did. He was sensitive to them. He knew when they were hungry. So, you know, that says a lot about his ability to read the audience.
The scripture doesn't say there were originally 10,000 yes. seated, but five of them left during yeah. this, so there were 5,000 left. Doesn't yeah. say that in scripture.
Jesus had this incredible advantage of doing miracles, and I think that that held his listeners pretty well. I don't know if he did them first and then would talk for a short while, then do another one. Whatever it was, he attracted great crowds, and they said he spoke with authority. They were amazed, it says in the scriptures, at his words. So it doesn't imply that he had trouble that way. I don't know how long he spoke. We don't know any of those things. We just have snippets of what went on, but it appears that he was quite a good communicator. Where are you going with that?
Well, I'm asking that question because I'm wondering about the idea of keeping people's attention. Have you recently been in a service, for example, where you sensed the speaker had lost the attention of his audience? And if so, how could you tell?
The answer to that is yes. I'm thinking of a specific service, and it wasn't because he wasn't energetic, but I sensed that the audience was getting restless. You can tell by body language. The church I was in, the communion table is in the center, so it's like a theater in the round in a sense. So it's not like sitting with your back to someone. You can see what the body language is, everyone is around. People get restless. A guy kind of sits up in the chair and then he slouches. I can tell too because I'm quite adept at spotting people who are texting on their phones and things, and things like that are a pretty good indication that they're not there. You don't have this sense when a minister has lost the audience that people are just hanging on every word. So I know that sense, and I've seen a lot of speakers where they don't lose the people at all. But yeah, I've seen it. And I can tell when I speak. I can tell. The other day, my wife spoke, and I said, what was it like? She said, I came up right after there was an announcement of a major change in the church. The pastor would be leaving. And after that announcement was made, then they introduced me. And she said for the first 7 or 8 minutes, I had a terrible time trying to get that congregation with me. And she said, I know what it was. Their minds were thinking about what's going to happen when the pastor leaves. Where is it all going to go? And so I was really struggling to get them. Now, after about 10 minutes, I knew I had them again, but I had lost them in that first part. So it may not be the speaker's fault. You know, a lot of things could happen. You could have a mic problem. And if you have a PA problem and it sputters all the time, you're going to lose your people, and then you have to pull them back again. Sometimes if you know you've lost them, you have to say, I got to use that closing illustration soon because I got to get them back here. Usually if you're the person up in front, you can tell, but even as I say that, I'm not sure that's true of all people. I think I've talked with a number of ministers in terms of coaching them and saying, did you sense that you lost the people at a certain point? Oh, no, they were with me the whole time, and I'm thinking, you're kind of whistling Dixie here because they were not with you. And in some ways, I had a hard time tracking with you. And I was with you because I was forcing myself to stay with you. So, you know, you get people looking around, you get whispering going on. At that point in time, you don't have them in your hand like you want them.
There is a certain sense, isn't there, of the ambience when you're speaking that you can tell if they're with you, the large number of them when it gets very quiet and all kinds of extraneous noise begins to subside. You don't hear the rustling of papers. You don't sense people readjusting their positions in their pews. I've heard some speakers talk about entering the zone or being in the zone. Mm. It's a place where you know that they literally are hanging on your every word.
Mm-hmm. That's not that often. I've had that happen. It's not something you can count on every time. And it's amazing when it does happen. It's like an athlete when he's in the zone. A batter, he just sees that ball coming and he sees the spin on the ball and they hit it a terrific clip. It's not all the time, but yes, what you're talking about. And I'm not sure that ministers can say every time I speak I have that. I've known and talk with some amazing speakers, and they will sometimes sense that and sometimes not. It's great when you have it.
In your own speaking, and you've spoken extensively over the years in literally thousands of congregations, do you ever recall losing an audience when you were speaking?
Come on, Dean. I've even lost my wife's attention. I was speaking at a service in Chicago the other day, and I had gotten my young grandson to go with me. He was about 12 at the time. This was about a year ago. And I was speaking on Revelation, which is a tough topic. And I got about, I'm guessing 7-8 minutes into it. And I have a tendency to ask an audience, are you still with me or have I lost you? And that's just sometimes I will do that. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I'm just kind of feeling where they are. And I heard a little voice in about the fourth row saying, well, quite frankly, I have been drifting a bit, Papa. He just answered me. And around him, all the people who heard it, there was laughter. I had to wait for the laughter to kind of silence. But yeah, he was being real honest with me. Yeah, I've been drifting a bit, Grandpa.
Don't ask if you don't want to know.
Yeah, right.
So the answer is yes. You have sensed when the audience, or at least some of them, are not with you. What can you do then to recapture that audience or congregation once you think you've lost them?
Story is a great way. I think sometimes if I sense that I'm losing them, I probably will go back and say, let me just get to basic. This is what I'm saying. This is what I've said so far. This is where I am now. And this is where I'm headed. But you're going back to, as simple as you can, put this into place so that you've tried to pull them back. Sometimes that's not bad to do, even if you think they're with you all the way through, because it's easier for you to follow the sequence of what you're preaching than it is for the person who hasn't heard yet where you're going. The easiest way to do that is, in my mind, through a story and an illustration of some kind. It's almost impossible not to listen to illustration. But I think, too, Dean, that I can tell even when I put a sermon together, this is where I really have to be careful not to lose my people here. So you don't want to make it real complicated. And I lost audiences much more early in my ministry than I do now. And I think, again, it was because I had too many ideas. I wasn't sure exactly where I was going. Whereas now, this is what I'm saying, and it's all written out. I know where I'm going. If I'm in trouble, I can go back to that sentence which says, this is where I'm going. I think you understand the subject now. I think you understand the response I'm calling for. I think I've made it clear how you can pull off this response. And I think I've told you about how long it's going to take before it becomes a part of your life. That's easy for me in my mind to follow that sequence. If I get lost in that sequence at that point in time, I'm sure the audience is lost as well. But I really haven't lost an audience as such, or a congregation as such. I don't have a congregation, so I tend to say audience because I get asked to speak at a conference or something like that, or as a church, but even then I'm the outsider coming in. It's not really very often that happens. And part of that is because once you get it into a subject and a response, you've eliminated all the extraneous areas where you could go. Most of the time when I get lost listening to someone, there are too many ideas involved. And on top of that, I can't tell where they're going with this. I can't tell how it's relevant to me. And so at a given point, just because I'm a preacher by trade, I start to think, how would I do this differently? What could this person have done that would have helped me? And so my mind goes in that direction. My wife's mind goes to, how am I going to change the garden this year so there are more flowers in it? But everybody, some people play golf during a sermon, whatever in their mind they're doing that. So, what you don't want to have happen is that they're going off somewhere else, but they're tracking with you all the time.
Do you think sometimes the preacher is as lost as the congregation is?
If the preacher is me, the answer is no, because I know where I'm going. But the truth is, of course, sometimes I think that. In fact, I remember on the way home from some services, I've said to my wife, do you think that he was confused, even like I was confused listening? He was as confused speaking, didn't have time to get it together, or thought he had it together, then when he got up, realized he didn't have it together. Yes, there's no question that's true. It shouldn't happen very often. And hopefully, once it does happen, it's enough of a wake-up call to that kind of a minister to say, I dare not let this happen again. It's a terrible, terrible feeling when you're the person in charge. And, sometimes you can't help it. I remember once, Dean, I was preaching in a church. It wasn't where I was pastor, but I was the guest speaker coming in. And I started preaching, and someone died right in the service. And it's not a thing to laugh about, but now I look back on it because I didn't know the person. But I was preaching on, you know, a comforting psalm on Psalm 23. I'll never forget my text. And I got probably 3 or 4 minutes in. All of a sudden, I heard this great gasp, and this individual just slumped over. Well, at that point in time, I mean, a nurse ran over. They were trying to beat him on his chest. It's pretty hard to keep preaching, you know. So I lost the audience, but I don't think it was my fault that time. This dear gentleman who had come as a guest to someone else, first time he'd been in church probably for years and years, and he came to be at that service and presumably hear me. Well, he had the full attention of everybody. And at a given point, I had to say, you know, this is not a time for me to continue with the sermon. Let's have prayer together and let's see what we can do to help this gentleman. Well, he eventually died in the service before they were able to get him by ambulance somewhere else. So you aren't totally in control of everything. You're not in control if, you know, I've had people when I was preaching come in from the back. I remember a young man who was on drugs and began cursing in the back of the church. Well, you're not going to hold their attention during that time. You have to wait for that to be done, and then you go. But in the areas where you can control, you can, you know, the great percentage of sermons I've preached in my life, there were not interruptions like this. So you can be responsible to do the best job that is possible for those times. And at that point, I think that what we're talking about, get your subject, get your response, get the how-to all figured out, get the where, how long it's going to take people to put it together. It's a very simple thing for people to follow. And at that point in time, regardless whether you do it going verse by verse, whether you do it, you know, and telling stories, whatever your style is, at least you know where you're going. I do think early on in my ministry, when I was just learning to preach, there were a lot of times when I got up and I wasn't sure what I was saying, you know, and you kind of get up and say, Lord, help me. And then you realize that he'll help you to a certain point, but he doesn't like to be taken advantage of, and you better do your homework. So you didn't, Dean, you didn't answer whether you've ever been in front of people and speaking, and you thought all of a sudden, I think I've lost these people.
I think sometimes one of the things that can happen, happened not long ago to me, the church that we are renting and meeting at an odd time in order to use their facilities has a carillon. At one particular point, the carillon just started to play. It wasn't supposed to play at that time, but it just started to play. And I had to stop and just let it play out. And fortunately, it only played a couple of minutes and stopped. And then I went on with the sermon. But if I'd have tried to preach over that, I would have had trouble. As far as capturing people's attention, I think there's a degree to which there's a couple of things that are very important to a speaker that I have great difficulty with. One of them is eye contact. Eye contact is important. It's important for the person that's speaking to make eye contact with people. I have difficulty doing that. I always have had that problem. I used to say I would much rather speak to a crowd of 5,000, which I have done, than I would to a handful of people. In a crowd of 5,000, nobody knows whether you're making eye contact with them or not. Mm-hmm. You can look in a general direction, and every person in that general direction thinks you're looking at them.
Yes.
There's something about making eye contact with people that all of a sudden there's a connection that goes in my mind, and I lose where I am. I'm so focused on what I'm seeing in their eyes that I lose track of
that
my place.
Interesting. Wow.
So I try to work very hard to overcome that. And I've had a little bit of success, but not nearly the kind of success that I should have to be really successful in that regard. Hmm. So
thank you for sharing.
Well, I was happy to do that. Thank you for joining us for this time together. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, we invite you to come back and join us for another SermonCoach.com podcast.